Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Mike and Stu, that's us.
It is. Hey, where you at?
Yeah. I am sitting on my front porch in the beautiful metropolis of Sims, Alabama.
I was going to sit out on my porch, but the sun's shining directly on it right now. So I do better now.
Somebody's feeding audio back to us. I don't know why that's happening, but good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
Well, good morning.
Okay, it quit, whatever it was. Isn't that sun? I tell you what, the bluest of blue skies in the last month. It's beautiful outside.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called drought.
We're not out there polluting the atmosphere right now.
That's right.
According to the experts, whoever they are. Well, good morning, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Good morning.
We're doing fine.
And I was hoping to be in the studio, but I got a little chest cold. I better not come.
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys something because y'all get around a lot more than I do, and that is a number of restaurants are showing some innovations like numbering slots in the parking lot for the to-go orders. And went to Cracker Barrel, and I didn't know that I could have phoned in my order and paid for my bill over the phone. So I had to go in and pay the bill and pick up my food. But still, there's a little bit of commerce moving. Have you guys seen much activity at all?
Yeah, we have, and we're going to have Christy Barber from the Cheese Cottage, I believe, on at the end of the hour. And she's been working from the curb, and a lot of people have. But a lot of people haven't. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people are still shut down.
Yeah.
You got to have the foot traffic. If you're not in a place where people can conveniently get in and out.
Yeah, downtown Mobile is a little more difficult.
Well, you don't have the parking lots, for one thing.
Yeah, but there's nobody downtown anyway. Some people decided, like David Rathman, just stay closed until later. Hopefully everybody get back soon.
I think
Rooster's opened up this week and started doing the family meals at Rooster's, and I know somebody that went and got it said it was just fantastic. And then, you know, this past Monday, Cheese Cottage had opened back up for curbside, and Heather could not get there fast enough Monday after work.
Wow.
So we got to enjoy some Cheese Cottage Monday, and I'm going to tell you, man, it was nice. I'm a pretty decent cook in the kitchen, but I do like to eat somebody else's cooking now and then, and I've eaten a whole lot of Stuart Reb Donald the last 6 weeks.
I've tried some places I have not. I will tell you this, and I hope everybody. I hope everybody forgives me for this, but I did go to Popeye's, and I tried the chicken sandwich, fried chicken sandwich, the Popeye's
it's
chicken sandwich.
Phenomenal.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no debate between that and a Chick-fil-A sandwich. It's a different animal. Chick-fil-A sandwich is a chicken nugget on a dinner roll that's very tasty, but it's just a chicken nugget on a dinner roll. At Popeye's, it's an actual chicken sandwich. Well, there's
Popeyes,
probably two and a half times as much chicken.
Popeye's
and
has the heat,
tastes
too,
better.
You know? They have the heat.
They had the flavor. Yeah. I'd say Chick-fil-A tastes fine. But, I mean, that sandwich at Popeye's is pretty darn good. It's not a fast food sandwich. It does not taste like a fast food sandwich.
Hey, Stuart, I got a serious question for you. If you were writing the guidelines for right now for how the kitchen staff and the serving staff or the window staff should be conducting business, you know, when all you have is drive-thrus or to-go orders, what would your guidelines be? And we're just all hoping and praying that everybody's following them.
Well, I guess, honestly,
if you were running the kitchen,
yeah, the kitchen, pretty much restaurants don't need to do anything differently. The way we normally conduct our business is already perfectly fine, and will not spread this virus, because it takes 15 to 20 minutes of constant contact within 6 feet of person with it for you to get it. We're walking out, handing somebody something, and going back in.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, the sitting in the dining room area, there you do have the extended thing. But as long as it's just to go, the way we normally do business was more than good enough. But everyone is doing the thing where they change the gloves after each customer, which is ridiculous. But
they're not really touching the food.
Right. No, the servers aren't, and the food is not where you're going to catch it. You're not. If someone with COVID hands you a sandwich, you're not going to get COVID from that.
Well,
you have to be within 6 feet of that person. For they've already said it does not spread by contact.
Well, and like also, food off the grill is not going to be carrying anything either.
Oh heck no! As long the first 5 to 10 minutes, it's going to be so hot, nothing would survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I say, the normal to-go routines that all restaurants have are more than adequate to handle this situation. However, everyone's, you know, more glove changes. But you have to remember, none of these things that are in place are for protecting the customer from the employee, because that's not where the risk is. The people working in restaurants are not a risk to you catching COVID. You are the risk, the customer.
Of giving it
we're
to them.
We're doing all of this to protect ourselves.
That's right. Why you're seeing those plastic screens coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, the people working in Walmart, the people working in Target, they're not the risk. The customers are the risk. And that's where the spread would come from, because, you know, I've seen the same 6 people for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, Mike was trying to say something.
It's a good thing you can't get COVID-19 at Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's and all the grocery stores out there. You know, I get so aggravated with that. All those places are slam packed with people. And yeah, they got the little lines
that are all getting essentials.
6 foot apart, but they're not 6 foot apart in the store. They're crammed into the store.
Well, you know, one thing that I don't agree with, and because Walmart is selling groceries, they can open the entire super center. But if you're a store that just sells, you know, let's say tires or let's say household products, if you're not selling food, you can't open.
Well, here's another thing.
Well, tires are considered essential.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, what, Mike?
This is what gets me, too. And there's been a lot of debate I've had a lot of debate with people in the last 2 weeks. They said, how come you're not worried too much about this? I said, well, let me tell you what. When they start shutting Walmart and Sam's and Costco and Home Depot and Lowe's down, then I'll worry about it.
Well, yeah, you won't be able to eat.
Well, I mean, it's not only that, Charlie. I mean, that would mean that it's so serious of a disease or a virus that they'd have to shut everything down. If they allow only those places to open, you can go in and buy children's clothes and stuff at Target and Walmart, but you can't go to Belk's or anywhere else to buy clothes.
See, that's the unfairness.
That's stupid. That is unfair. That is unfair. So, anyway, whatever. It'll be over with soon.
Well, what was it?
Hopefully.
I believe it was South Carolina's Trey Gowdy sent out a very strongly well-thought letter Friday that said, listen, this is not adding up. He said, there, you know, infection rates are way below what they said. Death rates are way below they said. And what we're seeing is we shouldn't have shut anything down is what it's coming to. And then they find out Friday and they announce the best things for it. Heat, humidity, sunlight. So why did we close the beaches? This is the safest place to be.
We've got the musicians all lined up for our break. So I guess we ought to stop talking for a couple of minutes.
All right, folks, give us a holler on the Callahan's Irish Social Club text line at 343-0106.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael, I have a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
What would you do for a Bailey's breakfast from Bob Downtown Diner right now?
I'd do about anything right now, I tell you. I wake up in the morning, and I forget there's this big thing going on in the world until I look at myself in the mirror. Some mornings I look like Jerry Garcia, and some mornings I look like Moses, you know, like just part of the sea.
And I would have never mistaken you for Moses.
Well, my hair's got so long and my beard's so long because I'm growing the beard until, you know, till this is over with and people can go back to work. It's kind of my little support for the industry. I think Simon Majundar is doing the same thing. And, but yeah, I'm not going to shave until everybody goes back to work.
And, so the virus cannot live in your whiskers?
But I'm going to, I wake up on a weekend, I said, man, I got to go to Bob's to get me some breakfast. And then I remember, I can't go to Bob's. I can't go to Butch Cassidy. I can't go to Heroes or Lodi Beer Garden and get me something to eat and drink, you know?
Are all of those four places not doing a takeout or drive-by?
No, they're not.
Yeah.
And, well, Lodi is. And, I spend most of my time because my job has me working across the bay. I work mostly across the bay. But I do want to shout out to the Alabama ABC Board and the State of Alabama and Montgomery for, I want to commend them for allowing businesses to sell alcohol out the door. I think the Icebox, Stony Boatman over at the Icebox, one of the newer bars, he's been selling the heck out of frozen drinks in the half-gallon containers. And a number of other places have as well. They called on him, posted it on Facebook. Now, he's got a line of people outside the place getting frozen drinks in half-gallon jugs. And
well, hey, after this show, I might need a half-gallon. Where is this place?
it's the old Crystal Ice House over there on Canal. And it's a really nice place called the Icebox, named appropriately fitting for the place. But a lot of the wine bars are allowed to sell, you know, wine and charcuterie boards and all that out the door. And you just call ahead of time, order them, pull up, and they have Le Bichon, the Firehouse, Red or White. I'm sure Domke Market does.
So I could get me a half gallon of pina coladas.
Yeah. Well, not at the wine bars, but
no.
I'm not sure about Lila Ben over at Owaz. Owaz a ghost town right now.
Oh, imagine.
And, what? Yeah. You know, I said one day, I said, you know what? This has been several weeks ago. I've got a gift card for Tanger Outlet Mall. I think I might go use this while there's no crowds. No, there ain't nobody in there. It's all empty. It's all closed.
You know, yeah.
And now I've got to wait till all that opens back up before I can use it. But that's okay. I will. But it was a complete ghost town, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, cards with expiration dates ought to be extended.
Well, none of those gift cards have expiration dates.
Yeah.
So that you can spend them whenever you want.
Yeah. I miss going out. I miss going out seeing my friends. Because I'm a social holic. And I have to be with people. I love being around people. And I can walk into a place and just sit there by myself, but I still feel like I'm socializing, you know.
Yeah, well, you're not, but
I don't enjoy
whatever it feels like, Mike.
I don't enjoy being at home because I love my cat, but he's not that entertaining, and not in that way anyway. So anyway,
I don't know. You probably have some of the most intellectual conversations you've ever had with that, with old Jude now.
Cats That's are good listeners.
He's a smart
kitten.
Well,
that's all they do.
It's not all they do.
No, it's not all they do. But, you know. My cat, all he wants to do is eat and let him out. Let me out. Get out.
Hey, guys, well, I got a technical question. I finally remembered to put my mask on, even though it's just me and Philip here. Mm-hmm. Does my voice sound more like a professional announcer with a mask on?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I didn't notice you were wearing a mask. Here's the thing about the masks. Is that's another thing when you see people wearing them in the store, and the reason they encourage you to do that is not so you won't inhale something that will make you sick.
Yeah, so you
those
won't
masks
exhale.
Are designed to keep things from getting out of you, not to keep them from getting in.
Yeah.
And they do help, of course, naturally filter what goes in, but they're designed to keep stuff from coming out of you.
Hey, can I give a plug?
Sure.
There's an industrial supply place on Rangeline Road called Ritz Safety. Mm-hmm. In there yesterday, and they actually had masks on sale for like $10. You can get the one that's the American flag, which I'm going to do first thing tomorrow morning. But the quantity, they may have more back in the warehouse. I don't know, but they had several different styles.
Yeah. Well, Michael, you know, we have a guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. We need to get a little work done here today, buddy. You and I are planning a new show that's going to be on Facebook Live called Dinner Conversations.
Wow.
And we tried to kick it off a couple of weeks ago, and we decided we're just going to wait until all the stay-at-home stuff is over, and then we could get in the same room and talk to each other.
Is it going to be live, I take it?
Yeah, it'll be on Facebook only.
Yeah.
And it'll be, most of the time, it'll either be Mike or me, and we will be interviewing one person for as long as we have fun doing the conversation. It may be a 15-minute show, and it may be an hour show. That's the wonderful thing about the freedom of the internet is you're not locked into those old 30- and 60-minute time frames.
Okay, let's suppose I can't watch it when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Are the shows also recorded?
Yep, just like the lives that we do of this show.
Uh-huh.
When we're in studio, it'll be saved on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/sipandchew. And then just click on videos, and you'll see it'll be broken down. And we've got them broken down now into the shows that we've done. I have a category just for COVID. So everything we've done. So anyone that has heard about one of the programs that was out there offering to help people out, and you can't quite remember it, you just go back, look through our videos, and you'll see all of the COVID-related shows that we've done. So they're broken down by category like that. And then, you know, the Facebook Lives, the regular ones, just say Facebook Lives. But we will have a separate tab under there for dinner conversations once we kick it off. And until we're able to get that going, what we're doing in that same time slot on Tuesdays or on Mondays at 2 p.m. is we're going to take the podcast of today's show, turn it into a video, and put it on Facebook so that people who are used to watching the live throughout the week because they can't be up at 8 o'clock in the morning with us will still be able to go back through and hear what we talked about today. Does that sound like a good plan to you, Mike?
Hey, I love it. I'm in.
Yeah, especially the part where we go, hey, let's put off that new work for a couple of weeks.
Hey, are you all able to have sponsors on your Facebook cast?
We will work into it. Yeah. We will eventually add that into the package with the show and everything. And we've got a new sponsor or two looking to come on board, so we're looking to ramp things up, aren't we, Mike?
Hopefully so. You know, people holding on to money right now, for sure.
If
you've got a business that's partially open, you mm-hmm. need to buy time on this show so we can tell everybody about it.
Yeah. Because we're getting, our listenership is way up. The views that we're getting on the Facebook Lives, understandably, like the very first show we did, Mike, when we did all of the different links for all the different organizations that are offering aid, that has been one of the most viewed Sip and Chews of all time on Facebook. Thousands of people watched it on the Facebook Live because we had friends in the restaurant industry in North Alabama and in Louisiana and California. The things we were given affected all of them. So they had their employees checking out the show all around the country that week. And it's we've been able to use this tool called radio to really help the people in our industry, what little Mike and I can right now.
Every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm. The reason we're going to have Christy on is
sponsors for sure.
Yeah,
we love the ones we have, but you know, I want Tom Claxton, man, he's my hero. He's got more sponsors than you can shake a stick at.
That's because he's so nice to look at.
Well, Mike and I have been invited to shoot some of the videos on Studio 10. So we're going to get some Hall sausage involved in that. When we come back, Christy Barber from the Cheese Cottage.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right. Well, we are back on. This is the bottom half of the hour where we like to do our interviews, and I am chomping at the bits today to get this lady on air. Christy Barber from the Cheese Cottage is on. And Christy, y'all reopened to the public Monday, correct?
Yes, we did, Phil. So it's so good to hear your voice, and we are excited to be back on Mobile's food scene, even if it's in a limited capacity. So thanks for having us on this morning.
Oh, it is absolutely our pleasure to have you on. And I got to tell you, we were there day one Monday. You know, I messaged you about coming on the show, and we're going to get to the PPP program and everything in a second. But I want to tell you, that was one happy young lady when you posted that you were going to open back up for to-go and curbside service.
We appreciate everybody's patience. And I know you said we'd talk about the PPP, but when this virus started coming down and hitting our shores, we were like, whoop, we need to stop things for a minute and reevaluate our whole business model of, you know, 90% on-site dining, 10% to-go to be flip-flopped, and zero on-site dining to all to-go. So we needed to evaluate things and make sure we could keep our employees safe. I know I've heard you just talking about the masks and stuff and sanitizing and just the food service industry in general. And so we just needed to take a pause, make sure that we could do it the right way, and then, you know, deliver a product, hopefully, that's going to keep us going for a little bit until things return back to normal, whatever that looks like.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people who don't work in our industry are, you know, they're like, what is the big deal? You quit opening and like that, or, you just do it. But when you started the Cheese Cottage, when you went from the first moment where you and your husband were like, we're going to open a restaurant, to the day you opened the restaurant was, I'm guessing, at least months, if not a year or so?
Yeah, it was at least a year of design. And it's, you know, if you think about a restaurant and everything from how people order to your menu and what distributors you get things from and, you know, what wine you want to offer and, you know, all those products, to how the actual food gets out the door, it is it should be a well-oiled machine if you're doing it right. And, you know, previous to this virus coming to town, we were a counter service type deli operation where people filed in our front shop, you know, shoulder to shoulder, looking at a menu, coming up to our register, poking our little register buttons and, you know, placing the order. And then when we went to curbside and to go for this week, that took some evaluation from everything, mm-hmm. from where we keep our napkins and our glasses and, you know, what are we going to offer curbside because of limited distribution. And, you know, all we just had to turn our whole entire service offering on its head and reevaluate it and make it right. So you're right. It took a long time to get it to where it was. I'm very proud of our staff for, you know, evaluating and it turning it around in a month. That's a lot.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to point out is when you open a business, a restaurant especially, there's months, if not years, of planning. And what you and Frankie Little at Roosters and Pete's having to do at Squid Ink is you're completely reinventing a whole new business in just weeks as opposed to months. And my hat is off to you and to Pete and to Frankie and every other restaurateur that's been able to do that. I am fortunate working at a pizza place where you already were doing 30% of your business to go. It wasn't a hard transition. Mm-hmm. But for, you know, especially the Cheese Cottage, y'all are, your food is wonderful. Your alcohol selection is terrific. But the whole thing about that experience is the community. You feel like you're hanging out at the neighborhood park whenever you eat at Cheese Cottage with all your friends that you grew up with and that you've known for years. And it's, you know, that's the crux of what going to Cheese Cottage is. And I'm just glad you've been able to get the food to people because I can't wait to sit back out on those picnic tables.
We can't wait to have you.
Now, for the business side of this, there's been some issues with the PPP and a lot of people don't even understand what that means and everything. So you are probably the most knowledgeable person I know about this. So I wanted to have you on to talk about the issues and the solutions and what's going on.
Well, so the PPP is called the Payroll Protection Program, and it is the federal program that was put into place about a month ago now. And that's those astronomical dollars that you've heard that, you know, the federal government has put out there to help small business. Now, granted, some of that allocation goes to different sectors of the business and different things, but the idea was that small businesses, and they have that predefined as less than 500 employees and things like that, they would be eligible to apply for 2.5 months average of their payroll, their standard payroll, and be able to apply for those funds, get those funds, and then ultimately be able to put people back to work. So if you think about it fundamentally, it is the best concept mm-hmm. because then you wouldn't have people needing to draw unemployment because they were out of work. The
right.
actual small business would be acting as that agent and keeping people employed and therefore off of the unemployment insurance system. Well, when the federal government passed that program, they obviously were not prepared for the influx of applications that they would be receiving from small businesses. So they dictated that you had to apply for that program through SBA, Small Business Association approved banks. And so banks were allowed to or told to take applications and use that predetermined formula. And then they were to be the administrator of those funds. And I'm probably not using the right banking terms, so bear with me. and so when people like me went to their prospective banks, we applied through whatever mechanism they gave us to apply. And then the banks were to have applied to the SBA for those particular approved funds. The SBA advertised it, as well as the banks, as a first-come, first-served type activity. They only had so much, and there's so many people that need it. So, you know, funds were inevitably going to run out if they pulled from that and there was nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
And so some banks, and I'm not going to mention my bank's name here, but I did on my blog, go check it out, thecheesecottagellc.com. Some banks insisted their customers fill out their SBA application via a portal, and then the banks were to have reviewed those applications and submitted them. That was the case in our case. Mm-hmm. But come to find out, we didn't receive an email until the day after the funds dried up that I was missing an initial on a particular part of this portal-driven application, and therefore my application was not even in the queue for consideration from the SBA.
Christy.
Yes.
You said you were missing an initial?
Yes, an initial on line 5 and 6.
That's a period, a dot.
Yes. Yes,
a couple of letters.
My initials.
KB.
And so I ended up putting this very public disgruntlement, if you will, published in my blog on our website because, I'm disappointed that the funds dried up. We kind of knew that was coming because of everybody being in the same situation as we are. My
right.
frustration and my disappointment and my aggravation was with our particular bank who didn't even open up our application for 2.5 weeks.
Right.
And so that
sounds like they'd already given the money away.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so since then, we've discovered that some of the larger banks, and we all know their names, gave a concierge-type service to their higher-value, higher-spend, higher-revenue-type customers. And so when we see some of these chains that got it and some of these publicly traded companies that got the funding, it's because some of the banks didn't open their portals up to customers like me until 2 or 3 days later. It's because mm-hmm. some of the banks had a banker calling those other customers and working them through those initials on line 5 and line 6 that they said I missed.
mm-hmm.
It's coming to light pretty quickly that there are a handful of banks out there that did not honor this first-come, first-served allocation and review for their applications to the SBA. And so if I have about 30 more seconds, the SBA has closed the loophole, and for this next round of funding that is supposed to hit at 10:30 tomorrow morning, they have closed the loophole to not allow publicly traded small businesses to do that. They've also insisted, encouraged, whatever you want to call it, that some of these publicly traded companies that did get funds that were meant for smaller businesses to return that money. Since then, I've had a lot of interaction with local banks and regional banks that are pushing my application through.
Excellent. Well, Christy, we got to go to break. We thank you for coming on, and you will see us very soon.
Okay. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Christy. All right, folks, one more segment, 343-0106. We're going to talk Hall Sausage in a minute.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
With Mike and Stu, and I'm Jonesy Jones. You can find me on YouTube, Jonesy Jones Music. Also, Facebook, Crown Jewels.
Love that lady. What a voice.
Jonesy Jones. Man, I miss her. I miss all the music in town. Jesus.
Yeah, Lauren Murphy. Gotta miss those Marlo boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get out and hear some folks, man.
Rick Clay Strays,
Professor Hill
over there. It's just so much music we're missing right now. And,
why couldn't we have a concert in the park or something?
What's that?
Yeah. I say, why couldn't we have a concert in the park or something?
Oh, yeah. No. You have to go to Walmart. We can go to Home Depot on the plumbing aisle. You know, they allow 500-600 people in Home Depot at one time, so we can have, like church service, you can have it on the plumbing aisle. Mm-hmm. But you can't have it at church in the parking lot.
Well, it's going to all straighten out.
But look, man, I am so craving being able to go do my routine and love going, you know, out to supporting the restaurants around this town, and especially Bob's, who supports us, and Bob's Downtown Diner at the corner of Fat and Happy, and then eating that Hall's sausage and those meats from Hall's. That's all that, mm-hmm. You know. I miss every bit of that, and I cannot stand sitting here at home watching Create Channel every night.
Well, you know, when Christy was on, she was talking about something that is kind of an issue in the restaurant industry that doesn't get talked about because it's not a serious issue, and that's supply lines right now for anything are disrupted. Things take longer to get than we did. Production is slower because they're having to run skeleton crews. And, you know, I have heard people running into things where the customers complain and go, these aren't your normal breadsticks. Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, supply lines are disrupted. And they go, well, you should have said something on the phone. No one should say anything on the phone, folks. You should understand, no one's running their exact normal menu because it's just not available. I mean, what we've done at Sim's House of Pizza is we're just making everything from scratch now. I mean, you come in and get breadsticks at Sim's House of Pizza, we made those breadsticks when you ordered, you know, from scratch, from dough right there on the premises.
Is that a really time-consuming procedure?
Yes, and plus it cuts into your pizza dough. I mean, pizza dough, for people who don't know, is just bread. It's slapped out thin instead of allowed to proof up like a loaf, but it's the same bread. Yeah, we have to stop every few minutes and make a new batch and run them through the oven. They only take 3 minutes to go through the oven, but it takes about 5 minutes to get them made.
But it's obviously quicker and more efficient if you can just, the restaurant can just order the rolls that you just throw in the oven.
Right. We would just pull those out. And people like those, but I got to tell you, man, these homemade ones we're doing are so much better. And, you know, people talk about that horrible chain restaurant where they treat you like family and their breadsticks, but those breadsticks are not great. They're just, I mean, you can taste all the chemicals in them because they're made in a factory. Man, you come in Sim's House of Pizza, you're going to get dough that was put together right there. It started as flour, water, and oil right there in the building.
Well, you know, that might be become positive for the business to keep on doing that.
It is, and a lot of people are having to remember how to do things from scratch, whether it's to save money or because they can't get product. So when you go to a place and, you know, they don't have the same dinner roll they had last week or their hamburger seems a little different, just remember, we're not able to get all of our normal stuff.
I can still make a bologna sandwich if anybody's interested.
Yeah. Now, a lot of restaurants, man, if you're having trouble, Mike and I have said that if you're having trouble getting you some chickens or some pork roast or whatever you normally serve because those supply lines are disrupted, call our pals at Hall's Sausage because they do wholesale meats, don't they, Mike?
Yes, they do. They certainly do. And they would love to have your business. They, especially, you know, have the local community and local area support them since they are local as well.
Absolutely. And, We alluded earlier that we're getting ready to do some cooking videos for Studio 10, and I'm going to try and, I got one, Mike, I want you to start thinking about the wine. I'm just going to tell you, it involves Hall's Red Hot Sausages.
No!
Yeah, that is a key element in this dish. And so you start thinking about what you would pair with a Hall's Red Hot Sausage.
So are they going to play these videos on their Channel 10 show?
Yeah, on Studio 10. Since they can't have the chefs come into the studio and shoot the scenes like they used to, they're having us just shoot them from home on our phones or a GoPro or what have you. And Mike, you finally got a chance to use your GoPro now. So
yeah, I'm still learning. I still don't know how to use it, but I'm mastering the filters and the lenses on my iPhone, sure.
He's just such a tech guru.
You know what you need? What they need to invent for these cell phones now, for a filter to put on the cameras, is whatever Marvel Studios uses to de-age their actors. That would be a cool app, wouldn't it, Mike?
That certainly would.
Hit the Marvel de-age thing. Next thing you know, we're staring at Mike Bailey circa 1977.
Yeah, teenager again.
How about disco days, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mike, have you been able to get out and try anyone else's cooking besides your own this week?
I told you I went to Cotton State last week. I told you I went to Cotton State barbecue. Yeah. That was really good. You know, to be quite honest with you, no, I really haven't. I've just been working at home and cooking at home. Thank God I have a freezer full of food and pantry and refrigerator full of food. I've done empty to one chef and a half in my refrigerator, so I'm getting it on down. Maybe by the time all my food runs out, it'll be time. You know, maybe this all be over with, and I can get out and restock. And I like eating out. I like eating out more than I do. Cooking at home, unless I'm cooking for somebody.
Well, I'll tell you, you need to get by Christie's and go to the Cheese Cottage and get her Mobile Muffalata.
Mobile Muffalata.
Yeah,
I do love muffalatas now.
It's not on the traditional muffalata bread. That's what makes it Mobile style. It's a panini, or a panino, actually, is the correct term. Dude, it was so thick with meat. I mean, it was like an inch and a half thick of just solid meat. It was killer. You really need to get some of that. And I sent you a picture of the sparkling wine in a can that we had. And told you, that was a very good wine.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did. That's right. Man, yeah, I'm going to tell you what, they're packaging wine up so many ways to try to sell it. There's a lot of wine out there. A lot of juice.
Well, you know what that wine needs to say on it? It needs to say buy local, shop local. Ain't that right, Mike? It needs
That's
to say
it, man. That's it.
Tip on, folks.
There's just so many styles and different type of wines out there now that you got to package it different ways to get people's attention.
All right. Provolone, Michael. Say provolone.
All right, Stu, good seeing y'all. Y'all stay safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Get out there. Support local. And provolone, guys. Provolone.
Provolone.
It's up to you.